This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's my joy to welcome all of you to the house of God this morning for this time of worship. We have a wonderful hour of worship ahead of us with baptism and new members joining, and above all, the opportunity to praise our God once again together in community. As we gather, I have just a few announcements for us, looking ahead to ways to be in ministry and fellowship throughout this week. Our youth are beginning their regular fall routine, and so they gather this evening at 5 o'clock for fellowship and small groups, and that goes from 5 until 7, and they do get food. There's also the first gathering for the youth vocal ensemble right after the 11 o'clock service. It goes from 12:15 to 1 o'clock, and we'd love for any of our youth to come to that. Also, once again, they will be fed. And speaking of food, we had a wonderful opening night for our Wednesday night dinner. I think we had over 75 people here on Wednesday night, and would love for you to join in that fun and that fellowship time together. If you wouldn't mind RSVPing on the website, that'll help us get our numbers right with the food. But children's choirs begin. I'll be leading a study about Sabbath. There's a mindfulness workshop. All of those things are listed in your insert this morning, so be sure and prayerfully consider how you might get involved on Wednesday nights. And finally, just a housekeeping detail. Our old elevator that's right here outside the sanctuary will be worked on all week this week, and it will not be in service next Sunday. So make sure and make your plans as you park and enter the building to use the new elevator to get up to this area if you need to do that. We continue to walk through the early stories of our scriptures as this morning we hear about the Hebrew people and how God made a way out of no way and delivered them from oppression. And as we hear that story, let us open our hearts and minds to the God who sets us free. Let us worship together.
when Pharaoh enslaved the people of Israel.
God came down and set them free.
When religious leaders rejected the poor, the blind, and the lame.
Christ came down and made them whole.
When persecution threatened to silence the believers.
The Spirit came down and made them whole.
May God, the three in one, come among us this day.
To set us free, to make us whole, and to make us whole.
Let me see. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Holy God, we confess that we find it all too easy to give up on life when we are weighed down by the pain. We forget your power to set us free. When we witness the oppression and struggle of others, we grow indifferent and numb. When we encounter the darkness in the world around us, we close our eyes to your light. Forgive us, O God. Help us to trust in your goodness and faithfulness. Remind us that you are a God who makes a way out of our way. Renew our hope, rekindle our love, and spur us into action. May Almighty God, who caused light to shine out of darkness, shine in our hearts and cleanse us of our sin. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Sully and Kate Lemons bring their daughter, Kirby Grace Lemons, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift offered to us without price. Kate and Sully, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture your daughter in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And congregation, do you, as the body of Christ, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include her now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Kirby Grace Lemons, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, Kirby Grace, your parents and I are going to place our hands on you, if you would, and we'll, Sister Olivia, can you reach her? And let's pray for the Holy Spirit in her life. Kirby Grace, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Miss Kirby, we're going to take a walk and get a little bit closer to your church family. These are the wonderful people who have surrounded your family for a long time, and they're going to make a promise to help them teach you the ways of God, to live their lives in such a way that you can see what the love of Christ looks like. They're going to teach you Vacation Bible School and Sunday School, and one of them might even be a confirmation mentor, a special friend, youth group small youth group leader. So we're going to make that promise together, because it takes a community to reveal to you how much God loves you. Let's join together in making that promise.
Will the congregation please stand and face Kirby Grace? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend to you Kirby Grace into your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Kirby Grace, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you, the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our
together in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, The Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and, in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they sent a taskmaster over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites. They made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of them, whom was named Shipra, and the other, Hua, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and allowed the boys to live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives come to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. The Pharaoh commanded all his people, every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrews' children. She said, then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, yes. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, I drew him out of the water. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Just heard from the book of Exodus, which is Way in the beginning of the Bible, there's a long story about a really mean king. He was a pharaoh in Egypt. You know how pharaohs wore those big golden hats, and they were very important and very powerful people. And this pharaoh decided that there was a little group of people in his kingdom that he didn't like. The Hebrews, they were called. They were God's chosen people. But Pharaoh didn't like them. And so he started making laws and doing things that were really cruel and mean to the Hebrews. You could say, really, that Pharaoh was a bully. But the thing the story told us was that God set the Hebrew people free. And that makes me remember that God is never okay with bullying and people being mean and cruel. Sometimes we run into people at school or somewhere who act like bullies or who aren't very nice to us or to other people. And I think it's important for us to know when we read the Bible that God does not think that is okay. Being a bully is never okay with God. So when we see that happening, God wants to help set us free and set other people free and make everybody better. So if you ever see somebody being mean, make sure and pray about it and talk to a grown-up and know that God wants to help. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are always caring for us and always taking care of the weak. Help us to be people who love everybody and who always want to help someone who's in trouble. Help us to be strong and stand up to what's wrong. Help us to talk to the grown-ups in our lives and never feel like we're alone, because you are always, always with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. You can head back to your seats with your parents or friends. So when the book of Exodus opens, God's chosen people are in trouble. It looks like the promises of God are in jeopardy. If we've been following God's work throughout the book of Genesis, we know that God had called Abraham and Sarah and told them that their descendants would multiply and would be a special people in God's plan. That God would use them to share God's light with all the nations in the world. And by the time we get to the end of Genesis, that little tribe of people has grown. It consists of Jacob and his 13 children and their children. And they all end up in Egypt. And we heard that story last week. They ended up in Egypt because there was a famine and their brother Joseph was there. So Joseph invited them all to live with him, and he was going to take care of them, and he did. And so for years, they lived there in Egypt, and they prospered, and they multiplied, and they grew in number. And then one day, as the book of Exodus opens, there comes in a new administration, a new regime, a new pharaoh. And he doesn't know Joseph. He doesn't have that relationship with Joseph that the previous leaders had. And he decides, for whatever reason, that these Hebrew people over here are a threat. And he does what any good dictator does. He begins to sow fear among his people of them, that group over there. He tells his people, the Hebrews are growing too numerous and too prosperous. They're going to threaten our well-being. And so we've got to clamp down on them. He begins to talk about the Hebrews as something less than the Egyptians, something less human than they are. And not only is it this propaganda that he begins to put out, but he begins putting in place certain policies to keep the Hebrew people down and even enslaved. He subjects them to forced labor. They become slaves. And he passes this edict that is perhaps the cruelest of all. Any new male baby that is born to the Hebrews shall die. So it looks like the people of God have no way out. This promise that they would grow numerous and inhabit the promised land seems deeply threatened. What is going to happen, we ask, as the story of Exodus begins? Well, as we've heard our scripture reading this morning, we discover a God who makes a way out of no way. A God who finds people along the way who are willing to act with courage and boldness and faithfulness so that God can deliver God's enslaved people. Let's walk through the story and meet some of these women whom God uses to set God's people free. So when Pharaoh issues this terrible edict that all the male babies of Egypt shall be killed, cruelty of cruelties, he asks Hebrew women themselves to enforce that law. The midwives. The Hebrew midwives whose whole purpose in their work is to bring about life, to bring about healthy babies into the world. And he tells them, if you see a male baby born, you shall kill him right away. So what do these women do? Well, there's a key verse in their story where it says, but the midwives feared God, and they did not do what the king asked them to do. Wow. They openly defied the edict of Pharaoh because their faith was in God, and they knew that their God was a God of life and a God of liberation, and God would never sanction the killing of a child or killing at all. And they refused to disobey their God at their own risk, at their own peril. So these women were courageous and faithful, and they were also shrewd. Because Pharaoh summons them and asks them, why are these babies living? Why aren't you doing your job? And so they play on Pharaoh's own ignorance. He has convinced himself that the Hebrew people are no better than animals, that she should be enslaved. And so they play into the Pharaoh's stereotypes of the Hebrew people. And they say, well, the Hebrew women are not as delicate as the Egyptian women, you know. They're more vigorous. And so they give birth before we can get there. Sorry. And Pharaoh, in his ignorance, believes them. Isn't that wonderful? So us as readers of the story are like, yes, a victory for God. God's making a way. We see it happening. Then the story shifts to a Hebrew woman who gives birth to a son. And she keeps him in hiding until he's 3 months old. But then she realizes she can't hide him anymore. And his life is at risk. If he is discovered in her home, he will die. And so she is brought to that most desperate point of decision. What can she do to save and preserve the life of her son? And her only choice is to let him go, to place him into the hands of God, and to trust and believe that God will rescue him and save him, that God is faithful. And so she makes a basket. And places him in the basket and sets him among the reeds in the Nile River. I can only imagine the courage and selflessness it took for her to do that. But not only is she filled with faith, she's also pretty shrewd herself. Because you see, the law of Pharaoh was that every male child born to the Hebrews shall be thrown into the Nile. So she didn't throw him, but she placed him in the Nile. So technically, she's not disobeying the law of the land. And she places him among the reeds so that he doesn't float away, but he stays put in a certain area. And I don't know if she asks her daughter to do this or not. Maybe they planned it all out from the beginning. But her daughter, this little girl, stays close by and watches that little basket to make sure that he doesn't float away, to make sure that no harm comes to him. And so we reach this point in the story. What's going to happen to this baby? What's going to happen to the hope of Israel? Will God make a way out of no way? And then who should discover this baby in the basket but the daughter of Pharaoh? And it may seem for a moment that all hope is lost. Here is a woman on the inside. She is a woman of privilege and power. It is her father who has made these rules. Has she bought into his propaganda about the Hebrew people? Will she obey her father? Surely the daughter of Pharaoh would not openly disobey her father. If she discovers this baby and sees he is a Hebrew child, will she see only a slave? Will she take it upon herself to enforce her father's law? Well, we saw what happened. Pharaoh's daughter looks at this baby, hears him crying, and instead of seeing a slave no better than an animal, she sees a vulnerable human being, and she is moved with compassion. She knows he's a Hebrew child. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she says. And I wonder if she's trying to decide what to do when little Miriam steps up. Miriam is the name of a little girl we find out later. This little Hebrew child comes with boldness and speaks to the daughter of Pharaoh and says to her, "Would you like me to find a nurse among the Hebrew women for this child?" Maybe it was Miriam's little suggestion that helped Pharaoh's daughter make the right choice. Maybe God was moving in her heart to bring about compassion, to help her set aside her privilege and help this baby. She had everything to lose and nothing to gain by helping the Hebrew child. But she made the godly choice, the righteous choice, and hope was saved. And so at the end of the story, we have this boy, Moses, who ends up being raised from a child by his own mother, taught the stories and the ways of the Hebrew people, and then claimed by the daughter of Pharaoh, brought inside the court of Pharaoh, perfectly poised to be the prophet, to speak truth to power, and lead God's people to freedom. God has a way of making a way out of no way. We hear this story, and we see in our own history as humankind how it is played out again and again and again. Leaders come to power and they scapegoat a group of people. They start propaganda machines that demonize other people and blame this other group for all the problems that are happening. They develop systems of oppression and injustice. It has happened over and over and over again in human history. But what this story does to us is reveals to us a God who is always a liberating God, always working to let the oppressed go free. And the question for us as the people of God is, how do we participate in that work of setting people free, of pointing to hope? Maybe like the Hebrew midwives and the work that we do, we can work for life and liberation and hope, even against a system that may be unjust. Maybe, like the mother of Moses, all we have the power to do is place our trust in a good and faithful God and let go. Maybe some of us are more like Pharaoh's daughter, in a place of privilege, where we can be moved by compassion for the vulnerable and the weak, willing to set aside our own privilege and insider status for the sake of another, so that all might be lifted up. We worship a liberating God, a God of love and hope, who is working for the redemption of the whole world, that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth, what part will you and I play? Whether we are living through easy times or difficult times, we are a people who affirm our faith in a loving and liberating God. So let us stand together as we are able and affirm our faith in the Creed number 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer to one another signs of peace and reconciliation.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are so glad that you're here and hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is to your right through those doors. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They're stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for them by finding their blue name tags. If you're a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join our student community for lunch and faith discussions following the 11 o'clock service. They will meet together in Reed Hall after that service. Also, in the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or are confidential. You can place that card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please also take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle, down the pew, if you've not already done so. We also ask that you pass that pad back down the pew so that we can all know who's worshiping with us here this morning. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, help us to offer all of ourselves to you according to the grace that you have granted us. Help us to lift up and support your people, to take our place among them and to care for them. For each person here in this space right now, we ask your encouragement, your healing, your nourishment, your strength, and your support. Hear our prayers for those who are especially on our minds this morning. We think of the hungry and the homeless, the enslaved and the oppressed, those who grieve and those who live in fear. As we have placed the names of those near and dear to us before you, seeking your healing grace, help us also to remember that we stand in need of your healing mercies. us to place our trust in you. Help us to reach out to others in confidence because of your love for us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As God's gifted people, let us give our gifts back to God.
invite those who are joining to come forward. Making their way up, I'll start introducing them. This is Bree Jordan. Bree is engaged to Drew and they'll be married next summer. She's a student at MTSU and she works at GameStop, and she's transferring from Brentwood United Methodist Church. Next we have Angela Williams, and she is a trauma nurse with Skyline Medical Center, and she also owns US Direct Incorporated. She's also transferring from Brentwood United Methodist Church. Next, we have Martha Orr. Martha is a retired elementary school teacher, and she's transferring from Westminster Presbyterian Church in Decatur, Alabama. Next, we have Jim and Suzanne Ward. Suzanne is a real estate broker with Christensen, Patterson, and Courtney, and Jim is the chief medical officer at St. Thomas Health Partners. And last but not least, we have Kelsey and Robert Finger. Kelsey is a registered nurse with Tennessee Oculoplastics, and Robert is in industrial equipment leasing with PCM Capital. Robert is transferring from Fairhope United Methodist Church in Fairhope, Alabama. So Kelsey, Martha, Jim, and Suzanne, this question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Kelsey, Robert, Bree, Martha, Jim, Suzanne, and Angela are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks through the doors to your right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
this place filled with wonder, love, praise, those who have been set free, and may we go to share that liberating news with the world. Go in Christ's peace.